This is Ronald Coleman inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour. Favorite story. Some years ago, I had the opportunity of playing Dr. Arrowsmith on the screen. And I've always had the keenest admiration and regard for the author, Nobel Prize winner Sinclair Lewis. All the English-speaking world knows Red Lewis as the author of great books, among them Main Street, Babbitt, Dodsworth, Cass Timberlane, and many others. You can imagine how eager we all were to find out just what book this world-famous novelist would name as his favorite story. Well, Sinclair Lewis chose the portrait of one of the most unusual women in all fiction, the novel without a hero, Vanity Fair. So Thackeray's masterpiece of venom is this week's favorite story. As the heroine, Becky Sharp, you will hear that fine young screen and radio actress, Joan Loring. Here's Vanity Fair, Act One.
Listener, I present you Vanity Fair. Some people consider fairs frivolous and avoid them altogether. Very likely they are right. But there are others who may be induced to step inside for half an hour and examine the entertainment. For the sentimental, some lovemaking is promised. For the whimsical, some light comic business. What more shall the author say? The scenery is in place. My puppets, exceedingly lifelike, await their cues. Let the curtain be raised. Let the action commence.
Amelia, you may kiss my cheek.
Yes, Miss Pinkerton.
And you too, Becky Sharp. You too.
I won't. Please, Becky, do be gentle. We shall probably never see Miss Pinkerton again.
Good. Insolence. For 6 years, I've suffered your disrupting influence in my school, Becky Sharp. I tried to make a lady of you. I failed. Your deportment shall ever remain a blot on the ledger of Miss Pinkerton's Academy for Young Ladies.
Oh, I'm sure Becky means no harm, Miss Pinkerton. She's just, well, spirited. High-spirited.
Bad breeds bad, I've always said.
I hate you. And I hate your school. Ever since I came here, I've been treated worse than any kitchen servant. I've never had a kind word except from Amelia. And never a friend except from Amelia. You've despised me because I'm an orphan. Because my father was not a fat merchant or a duke, but a lover of beauty and a painter. Because my mama danced on the stage and was graceful and lovely as you never were. You crow-faced old fuss-study.
Oh, for shame, Becky Sharp. For shame.
Becky, how can you have such wicked, revengeful thoughts? Revenge may be wicked, but it's time you learn, dear Amelia. Becky Sharp is no angel.
Welcome home, Miss Amelia.
Thank you, Roger.
Your brother Joseph, miss. He's home from India, miss.
Joseph? Home? Oh, I must see him. You shall meet Joseph, Becky. Where is he, Rogers?
In the library, miss.
Come along, Becky. What's he like, Amelia? Is he very rich? Oh, he must be. Oh, it must be wonderful to have a brother. A kind, rich, affectionate brother. Is he handsome, Amelia? Well, not exactly. Joseph is, well, big. Big and, well, round. Oh, how jolly. And is his wife, your sister-in-law, a nice, pretty woman? Why, Becky, Joseph isn't married.
Not married?
No. Now stop prattling. You shall meet him.
Who's that?
Open and find out.
Amelia, upon my word.
I've come home, Joseph, for good. School's finished, over and done with. Gaze upon a perfect specimen of cultured womanhood. Oh, so says Miss Pinkerton.
Yes. And who might this duplicate specimen be? This blue-eyed miracle at your side.
Oh, Joseph. Why, this is Rebecca Sharp, my schoolmate, who's come to spend a fortnight with us.
Amelia's told me so much about you, Mr. Sedley. How daring you are, and how dashing in your regimentals, and how brave in the face of danger, and, oh, so many things.
Well, my dear Miss Becky, the fact is, I served as a collector of revenue in the civil service.
Oh.
A Bengal, village of Bugliwala. The military wouldn't have me. Trained by carrying too much weight. Imagine that. It's ridiculous. But regulations, you know. Though I flushed many a tiger in my day. Did you?
Oh, I'm sure you have, Mr. Sid. Joseph. May I call you Joseph?
By all means, I insist upon it.
Are you returning to India, Mr. I mean Joseph?
Absolutely not, my dear Becky. It's bothersome liver.
Oh.
And my arrival, if you'll forgive me, my dear Becky Sharp, is most opportune, sweet girl. Most opportune.
Oh, Joseph, how you do flatter.
My dear Becky, my dear, dear Becky. My dear, dear, dear Becky.
Joseph, darling, you are so clever with words.
Oh, you think so? What I want to say is, I mean to say now that we're alone, I can speak my heart freely, fully. Though we've known each other but 5 days, my dear, dear, adorable Becky, I feel that I have been, in your thrall. Yes, that's it. In your thrall forever.
And I in yours, Joseph.
Therefore, Becky. Therefore.
Therefore, Joseph.
True, I'm a wealthy man, Becky, but oh, so lonely. So very lonely. I had hoped, though we've known each other but 5 days.
'Twill be 6, dear Joseph, before you declare yourself.
What I mean is, I've heard that you are leaving to take a post as governess in the home of Sir Pitt Crawley. Cannot allow it, Becky.
But what am I to do, Joseph? How am I to live? A poor girl thrown upon the world, fatherless and motherless. Joseph, it is my fate, and I must meet it with fortitude.
You deserve better, the world, poor innocent child. I want you, Becky, I want you to become... I beg you're not listening to me.
Hello.
Hello.
Dine, Trude. I'm searching for Amelia. Well, I'll get along. Perhaps I'll find her in the service.
Oh, no, no, don't go. Joseph, do I know this gentleman?
This, confounded, is Sir George Osborne. Amelia's what you might call it, fiancé.
Sir George Osborne. Sir George.
Oh, yes, it is rather awful sounding.
Oh, no, no, not at all.
When's the announcement, George? When do you and Amelia publish the banns?
Soon now, Joseph, soon. Amelia and I, Miss Sharp.
Oh, you know my name.
Oh, of course. Amelia's spoken of you. I was saying, Miss Sharp, Amelia and I were toddlers together. It's always been understood that we were, fated for each other. Yes, indeed we are. And so the betrothal shall be proclaimed, the marriage consummated, and the happy twain shall live blissfully together unto eternity.
How well described, Sir George. You're so clever with words. May I call you George? Amelia, I've met your George. He's very handsome and so distinguished. Is he rich, Amelia, as rich as Joseph?
Though he were a pauper, I still should love him.
How very romantic, Amelia. But you've never known a pauper. Never lived a pauper's life, or you should think very differently of it.
perhaps. But why talk of it? What morbid thoughts you have, Becky. George loves me, and I adore him. And Papa has made me a handsome dowry. So there, penniless or not, George is mine. George is mine.
Penniless? Oh, what a fool I am.
How strangely you talk. Becky, what's in your mind? What's in your heart?
I don't know, Amelia. I don't know.
My dear Miss Sharp, Becky, have you heard? I'm leaving England.
What?
India beckons.
But your liver!
Oh, I know, but they've opened a post for me. The colonial office insists I accept.
Oh, but I'm
the only man for the job. I feel it's my duty, you know. So, goodbye, my dear Miss Sharp, Becky.
What has happened?
Happened? What do you mean? I don't know what you mean.
Last night.
Last night.
I want you, Becky. Now that we are alone, I can speak my heart freely. Fully.
Yes, you remember my words.
Very well.
Well, the fact is, I would have said, had George not intruded, that I want you to know that I shall always be your friend. Yes, that's it. That's what I would have said if George not intruded upon us.
You lie. You lie. You were about to ask for my hand. Someone has poisoned you against me. Someone's been telling you lies about me. Who? Tell me who.
Oh, really, Miss Sharp, this demonstration.
Amelia?
Heavens, no.
Was it George?
Really, Miss Sharp.
George, it was George. Where is he?
This won't do, Becky.
I'll find him. He'll learn he can't ruin my life this way.
Very well, Miss Sharp. You force my hand. I've no wish to hurt you, but then you've every wish to hurt Joseph. Pursue your own selfish advantage, however your victims are made to suffer.
How dare you?
I dare by reason of my love for Amelia. I rather imagine you decided to set your cap for me.
What?
A fortunate, trim-waisted gentleman, much better than a fortunate, fat-waisted fool.
You haven't a shilling, Amelia's told me. It's her dowry you're after. It's the pot calling the kettle black, isn't it, Sir Osborne?
You little demon. There's this difference. You see, I love Amelia. I love her, Miss Sharp. Have you any love in your heart for Joseph? Have you, Becky Sharp?
Why, I... No. He's a fat, dull-witted oaf, and I detest him.
We're ready now for Act Two of Sinclair Lewis's favorite story, Vanity Fair. Joan Loring stars as Becky Sharp, and for further insight into the character of this incredible miss, we turn you back to our author, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Well, gentle listener, now you have sampled my marionette. Think you not that Becky Sharp, perfect, uncommonly flexible in the joints and lively on the wire? Our Becky is now in the employ of Sir Pitt Crawley, Baronet, a strutting little peacock of a man with the habits and cunning of a boor. And yet, observe him, a dignitary of the land and a pillar of the state, and consequently, a man of stupendous merit in the catalogue of Becky Sharp. For a title and a coach and four are toys more precious than happiness in Vanity Fair.
Indispensable, Becky. 'Tis the anniversary of your arrival at Crawley Hall, my dear. 1 year ago today you came, you saw, and by Jove, you conquered, Becky. You conquered.
How kind of you, Sir Pitt, to approve me. I was not born into distinction, sir. I'm just an humble girl.
What is birth, my dove? Look at my son, Ron, a bounder, handsome but a fool, tracking down the fox when he should be in London trapping pounds and pits. You're a little paragon. Positively a little jewel.
Oh, Sir Pitt, I didn't think you'd ever... You've never spoken to me this way before. You've always been so cold and formal.
Ashamed and shy, my dear. You're so young and vibrant. Be with me, Becky, I implore you.
Be with you, Sir Pitt? As what?
As Lady Crawley. Be my wife. Birth be hanged. Oh. What you say, Becky? Speak up. Is it yes?
Oh, Sir Pitt...
I'm an old man, but a good one. Good for 20 years. Oh. I'll make you happy, see if I don't.
Oh, Sir Pitt, I'm...
Yes, Becky, yes.
I'm married already.
What?
I'm married already to...
Spit it out! Who is it?
Captain Rawdon, your own son.
My son? Get out. Get out of my house. You hook him, thinking I'd leave my money to him, eh? Well, not a farthing shall he have. He's disinherited. Now, get on with you. And good riddance.
I've no wish to argue with you, Father. I came back for this trunk of Becky's. I'll take it and be gone.
Oh, you will, eh? Well, it wouldn't be a bad idea if you looked into that trunk yourself. Give you a good idea of the kind of woman you married. Here, see what's in it.
How dared you open that?
Look, be enlightened. A pair of tights.
Oh?
A horrid, licentious wig. Rouge pot. Look here. A picture of your Becky Sharp as a dancer.
Well, it certainly looks like Becky, but it isn't. Oh, here's some writing on it. It says, a portrait of my mother, painted by my father.
And her father a painter, you see.
What do you see in my trunk, gentlemen?
Becky.
These mementos are personal and sacred to me. No gentleman would ever so invade a lady's privacy.
Good day, sir. Come, Becky.
May I take my trunk? Will you be good enough to hand me that portrait, Sir Pitt?
Blast it, take the rubbish.
Rubbish! This was my mother's. This is how I remember her. Strange, wonderful smile as she sang me to sleep.
A dancer.
Yes, your lordship, a dancer. She danced and taught dancing so she could feed and clothe a child. Me, Becky Sharp. You wonder why I treasure these. The rouge pot and the skirt and this poor little string of beads.
My poor Becky.
Don't pity me. How do you know I'm not lying? Perhaps I'm making this up.
I don't care. I love you.
Yes, Rawdon, love me. Please love me. I've had so little love in my life. I've been kicked so much. I've been a beggar in rich men's houses too long.
So you thought by marrying this young buck that you could live in wealth the rest of your life. Well, he hasn't a penny. He's not going to get a penny of mine.
Listen to me, old man. We'll make out. Life owes me a great deal, and there's a balance. I have many things due me, and I intend to get them. All it takes is the least touch of wit.
Wit?
Don't look so worried, darling. I don't expect you to furnish the wit. That's my dowry to you. It's a nice party, isn't it, Rawdon?
How can we think of waltzing and eating and all the rest when we don't have a penny? The barrel is being scraped, Becky.
We'll find a way. Enjoy yourself.
But there's not another farthing to be squeezed out of these Londoners. They're all onto our game.
Stop the music! Stop the music! Ladies, gentlemen, I have news. Napoleon has escaped from Elba.
What?
All regiments have been ordered to Belgium immediately.
What appalling news.
Appalling news? No, my darling.
What?
Think of all the officers in the drawing rooms of Brussels. We'll go there. They don't know us in Brussels. And we'll do splendidly. How obliging of Mr. Napoleon to accommodate us.
Becky, you're the cleverest woman in all Europe.
Fie, Mr. Rawdon. I have a clever husband. Is it to my credit that you are unbeatable at the gaming table?
It's to your credit if your beauty attracts men who can afford to lose to me. Oh, it's good that I trust you, Becky. Becky, I'm not being a fool. I mean, these men we meet, you wouldn't in my absence.
Why, Rawdon Crawley.
Oh, I'm sorry, my dear. Forgive me.
Rawdon, leave me. Do you see that man?
Yes.
Lord Steyne, the great Lord Steyne, worth millions. I think we should get to know him much better.
Oh, I just remembered I haven't danced with our hostess. If you'll excuse me, Becky.
Ah, Lord Steyne. What a surprise. How nice to see you.
Mrs. Crawley. Enchanted. Shall we stroll out on the balcony? There's a lovely view from here.
I should be delighted. How nice the Belgian countryside is. Tell me, Lord Steyne, what town is that in the distance?
A village, a small village. A place called Waterloo.
Do come in, sir. It's always such a joy to see you.
I kiss your hand, irresistible creature.
Oh, this dreary war. How long do you think this can last?
Don't tell me that you miss your husband, my love.
Oh, your lordship. Your lordship.
Nonetheless, we must carefully time his return from the front. Scandal would ruin me at court.
My dear Lord Steyne, Rawdon Crawley is 100 miles away. My maid has been dismissed for the evening, and you are to have a dinner prepared by Becky Sharp's own hand.
I kiss that hand again. You superb, Becky.
Wonderful and rare, my Lord Steyne.
Crawley.
A paragon of virtue, a true and faithful consort, my own dear, devoted Becky.
Rawdon.
You, Beck? Why, I thought...
You thought...
I thought to surprise you, Becky. Your husband arrived from the war by fast coach, counting the minutes until his arms surround you, and he finds you thus...
Oh, Rawdon, you don't understand. I'm innocent. Lord Steyne means nothing to me.
You innocent? Confound you, every trinket you have in your body is paid for by me.
Oh, no.
Don't think to frighten me, madam.
You lie. Coward, you lie.
Ask her if I lie. If she dare deny it, ask her. Is it true, Becky? Tell me.
Yes. It's true.
I shall be leaving. You're welcome to us, Steyne. Goodbye.
Rawdon, I did it all for you. I did it only for you, Rawdon.
So, you did it all for him. I bid you goodbye, Mrs. Crawley.
No. No more.
Becky.
Becky for Black.
Becky Sharp.
Yes?
Don't you remember me, Becky?
Joseph Sedley, Amelia's brother.
It's 12 years, Becky.
You were my first conquest, Joseph. Do you remember how I played false with you?
I remember, Becky.
I've been poor, Joseph, and unprotected. No one understands me. My husband, Rawdon, died at Waterloo, and now I've nobody. I'm not a scheming woman, Joseph. I've been persecuted. Persecuted.
Oh, poor sweet Becky. I shan't let them harm you. Now, come along with me. We'll make amends, we shall, for all you've suffered.
Now, wasn't that a pretty scene? Love requited. After a lifetime of inconstancy and betrayals, Becky finds her place on her first love's arm. Dear, sweet, considerate Becky. Solid, upright, wealthy Joseph. You see? The circle is complete. At long last, the sun does shine on Vanity Fair.
An investigation into the strange, unnatural death of Joseph Sedley, whose sole heir, Mrs. Rebecca Sedley, his wife, born Rebecca Sharp, is suspected of hastening or precipitating his death by means unknown.
It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a filthy lie. I love my husband.
The jury will retire. Consider the evidence.
Did you play that scene convincingly, Becky? Did you weep well when they mentioned Joseph's name? Did it sound sincere when you said, I loved my husband? Did you love him, Becky? Did you love Rawdon or Sir Pitt or Lord Steyne or anybody?
Crown versus Becky Sharp. Case dismissed for lack of evidence.
You're free, Becky. Free to go back to the one great romance of your life. Your own heart's darling. Free, Becky. To devote your whole being to the one person you will ever love. Becky Sharp.
So ends our favorite story production of Thackeray's Vanity Fair. Our thanks to Joan Loring, who starred as Becky Sharp, and to all the members of the cast. And our particular thanks to America's great novelist, Mr. Sinclair Lewis, who chose Vanity Fair as this week's favorite story. Next week, a study in great beauty and great despair. The story of a woman the world cannot forget. The sainted Maid of Orleans, Joan of Arc. Miss Jennifer Jones chose it as her favorite story. We hope you'll be listening.